The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I don't keep it.
Hey everybody, it's Sarah.
And this is Megan.
And you're listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. We're trying to record this visually at the same time. And I promised I would give it to Patreon first and then put it on our YouTube channel. We'll see how that goes.
You're going to scare the shit out of our Patreon.
Well, we were just saying our best light is eclipse.
Yes.
It's candle, darkness, and eclipse.
It can't happen fast enough, that eclipse.
No.
So that...
And it's also, someone pointed out on our Facebook group page.
Yeah, that was Amy White.
That the eclipse is that time of year where the ladies stare at the sun and they burn out their retinas and then they start dating these gentlemen
that make very poor
look
choices.
Like a nutsack or a gargoyle's nutsack or a Snuffleupagus's butthole. And you say, sir, is that your face or did your butt grow teeth? Sir, is that your face or did your neck puke? I got him right this time. I think those are good pickup lines.
I think so. Yeah. Especially after the eclipse.
So. Right. Yeah. So. And then if the sir says, no, maybe he's handsome. You know, you go with it.
Right. So yeah. Ugly fuckers, we welcome you.
Right.
In just a few days.
Yep. And to watch with care if you watch us visually.
Yes.
Watch with care.
Like Vaseline.
Right.
On
spread Vaseline on the lens.
Retinas.
Yeah. Put them on your retinas and your screen.
Right. Right.
A generous helping.
Copious amounts.
Correct. So we're finishing our spring break, and I was just saying I'm having like a terrible anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. And it's probably due to several things, but also going back to the devil's workshop.
Playground.
Tomorrow. The devil's playground would mean it might be fun and hedonistic.
Really? Yeah.
It's like the devil's hemorrhoid visit.
Yeah. Hedonistic is also a nightmare for me. I don't like things. You know I don't like things like that.
You kind of do. Well, I mean, if like it's drinking and partying.
I love drinking.
Yeah. But not if you're like... penises.
No, I don't want any of that sexual
of course.
Garbage.
No, my stretch pants stay up.
That's right. Right where they belong. So we're going back to work. It's a beautiful rainy day here in Minnesota. Yeah. And we need rain, so that's good. And I kind of like it. It sets the mood.
It does. And it means you don't have to feel guilty for not going outside and jogging.
Right. Exactly. 100%.
Because normally we would be outside getting a run in. Mm-hmm. But we can't today.
No.
So,
in between our intermittent fasting and all of the supplements that we take and the drinks that we're not having, we would be running.
Of course.
Yeah.
Or roller skating. So we have new patrons, Patreons.
No way.
And I've redecorated the podcast room. Now it's still, if there was like a category of shitty to it would be like in the middle.
No, this is classic. It's always the husband.
We do have our prized possessions all around.
We
do. That's all that mattered. Uh-huh. I got rid of the bacteria. I bleached and bleached and bleached. So I don't think there was. I pulled up the carpet and I was expecting quite a bit of mold due to the terrible flooding that constantly happens. Not any.
I never thought it was that bad.
But I just was thinking there was like just going to be. Now there was. Like some dirt patches and just gallons of piss. gallons. But thankfully, like, there wasn't moldy things I could find.
Yeah,
and no. I did not paint. I painted the floor, but when I was going to start painting the trim, I did a little bit and said, fuck it.
No.
Because eventually we'll try to get carpet in here. So yeah. I don't know.
I think it'll be great.
But I put those pictures of our before and after on Patreon, too.
Good.
So if you want to become a member, you can see those and listen to other fucked episodes of all different. We have true crime episodes. We have some fashion episodes I've done with Nut Bar. We have culture with cunts. So that's pop culture, which I'm going to try to see if we can do today.
We'll see.
I have some things ready for you if you feel like it.
Okay.
And we've done video. We've done question Q&A on it, behind the scenes.
And don't you get some downloads of shit?
Yeah. I keep meaning to put those up, but I did send out to all the most recent patrons their stickers.
Oh, great.
So those are coming. Here are some new patrons. So we have Katarina R, but it's
Katarina.
Spelled K-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-A. Oh, not Katharina. I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong, but it's lovely.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. We're so glad you joined.
Thanks,
Katarina. And I believe you were on my sticker list. If not, I'll send those.
Okay.
Because she's very new. We have a Momoa. So we need to do a Momoa. Alexandra Garley. She is our newest Momoa.
So excited.
Going to give her a Momoa shout out.
What's he going to say today?
He's going to say, Sarah, do you want to see my balls? I don't know if you said that, but something similar. So let's listen. What is he going to tell her?
Okay.
You're gorgeous and fierce and strong and
romantic.
Oh,
yeah.
Very romantic. Much more romantic than do you want to see my balls? Which is what he said to you
right.
in the line and at I the total
said,
wine.
I'm already looking at him, but sure.
It's funny you should ask.
Yeah.
Because I am.
And then we have Katie Seidenberg.
Now
it's K-A-D-I-E, but I think I put K-A-T-I-E on her card.
Oh my God, what's wrong with you?
I'm terribly embarrassed, but Katie, welcome.
Thanks, Katie.
And it's E-I. Is that you're an English person?
I am.
S-E-I-D, Seidenberg, Seidenberg. It wouldn't be that.
I would say.
I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names, but Katarina, Alexandra, and Katie. We love you and welcome.
Thank you so much.
I want to do a special thank you to Barbara P. from Manhattan, who sent us books. And I was so excited and starting to true crime books or mysteries. And I'm starting to read them. And I just was brand new books. I was in love. I screamed.
I know. And then I took them to my house. Yes. And my favorite one has something to do with like, it's called like How I'll Kill You or something. I can't wait to read that one.
Oh my God. They seem great. Yeah. And another special thank out to Sarah Garcia, who is just a lovely person who donated some towards our redecorating.
Oh yes. Thank you so much.
And I can't, when I saw that, I was in a mood and that made me happy. So thank you so much.
Sarah's been in a mood for a few days.
I know. Due to my own incompetence.
Well,
and what do you do when you're in, when you just are in a shtick because of your own foolery and buffoonery and incompetence? Because you can't blame anyone but yourself. And so it goes nowhere. So you know, like your own stupidity just kicks you in the vag. I'm like, God damn it. You just try to be better. Oh, which brings me to Heather Dammitz for no reason.
Dammitz!
I just want to use her name as my new swear. Heather Dammitz! And she is a beloved listener. So, Heather, if you hear me just randomly say Heather Dammitz!
Dammitz!
I love it.
Love it, love it, love it.
But we do have a Facebook group where people can meet up. If you don't have Facebook because you hate it, I get it. We also have an Instagram. If you don't have social media, you can find our email and talk to us.
You can.
It's always the husband at gmail.com or it's always the husband podcast at gmail.com.
I don't know.
I think it's always the husband at gmail.com.
But anyway,
and you can write us and let us know what you think. Letters. I can't handle right now. More scolding and hate.
No, only nice, only good things.
Just give me a week, and then you can hate.
Even if you hate Facebook and you don't use it for anything else, you should join our group. This is actually called "It's Always the Husband" podcast group,
right?
And you just ask to join, and we just let you right in. There's absolutely no vetting process. If you're a piece of shit like us, you are welcome.
Oh, right on in.
Open arms. And so every week on our podcast.
It says Gary Nuts, pedophile. Yep. We go right in.
Perfect. Love that guy.
Yep.
So every week we pick our favorite post from all of our group members.
You can't be sensitive. I mean, you can be sensitive, but then you can't go off at people in the group, which thankfully no one has ever done yet in 4 years.
No.
But you can't be sensitive because you're going to see dicks and you're going to see balls and you're going to see boobs and you're going to hear horrible things.
And a lot of husband bashing. And fucking Eric Asp put a goddamn brown recluse spider.
Those scare me.
On our page. Yeah. And Eric, for the love.
Who was it in Alabama? Was it Jen who said she has those and all sorts of... Oh, Colorado, too.
Yes.
They have those and black widows. And I've been to Colorado a few times and haven't thankfully encountered them yet. But I'm always watching for the snakes.
I can't with any of these things. I know that my uncle, when he was at his cabin in South Dakota, put his foot into his slippers in the morning.
No.
And a brown recluse was in there and he got bit on his toe, on his foot, and had to go through a shit ton of rounds of, I don't know, what did they do? Give you
antibiotics or something? Your skin dies and you get necropsy or is that when you rape the dead? I don't know. Something happens and it dies. And you can die, right?
Look at Marcy Johnson said, I know someone who lost a leg.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Because I think I don't know. It's horrible.
Well, Eric did that to all of us.
Of course. So, he loves it and he giggles.
Yeah.
He giggles
and laughing.
Spider torture.
And then Lindsay Schultz wrote, can we create one that only kills fat cells?
I mean, then I would do it. I mean, we're all waiting to get on Ozempic.
Yeah, I know.
That would save some time.
When is it going to be cheap enough?
Well, I heard that the patent comes out next year. So then they can make general Ozempic that's like $100 a shot. Then we can sign on up.
Oh, God.
And just shoot it right into our vag.
Well, in the meantime, we just are going to keep getting fatter and fatter.
Of course. That's why I wear pants that have... Mm-hmm. A good old stretch, like a Wilford Brimley pants.
I am wearing pajamas for real life clothes.
But my favorite, one of mine was my own. I was on Twitter, which also is bad for your mental health. For many reasons, because I have a lot of political Twitter. And so that is neither here nor there. But I have also a lot of 1,000 animal meme Twitters. So this one, some lady said, oh my gosh, I brought my cat Emma into the vet to get a spay. And this is what the intake doctor wrote. And then they show her form and it says overweight fatty in heat. And I thought, okay, that has to be a sticker and a t-shirt. Overweight fatty in heat. And literally my doctor pretty much wrote that on a form 10 years ago for me. Overweight fatty.
Yes.
Oh, and I thought overweight fatty, just you only had to say one or the other, and fatty is mean. You didn't have to say fatty.
No.
But my sorry, I'll cut that out.
No, you
my
won't.
Second one is Molly Mulligan, who I'd seen before, but put the lovely Leslie Nielsen from the Naked Gun movies and such. In an interview, was famous for bringing his fart machine and just letting, as he would talk, just letting farts rip. And then the interviewers would think he's actually farting. And it's so funny because I totally would do that. Were you with when I put the fart machine in Nut Bar's purse and she went into the bathroom and I clicked and I did the remote?
And also you went into that when we were boutique shopping.
Boutique. Yeah.
and you put it in the corner.
I put it in Nut Bar's purse.
Oh.
It was Nut Bar's. And she kept going, oh my God, who's farting? And it was in her purse. And it was a dead silent boutique. And I had my screaming loud fart machine. And I put it deep in her purse. And then Beth and I think went to the corner of the store and I had my remote. So I just did the farting. And so it sounded like she was letting off huge rip farts. We laughed so hard, I think we all pissed ourselves. She didn't even know it was in her bag because she can't hear shit.
No, she's so deaf.
Yeah.
I mean,
who's farting? She was saying. I'm sure just absolute.
Why are we so dumb? That was funny.
That was right. That's something I totally would do.
Yep. And so you love.
I mean, that scene from Naked Gun where Leslie Nielsen gets up from the press conference. And this is what I saw this with my dad, and he laughs so hard. And he thinks his mic's turned off, but he goes into the bathroom and does a huge loud piss that's over the whole press conference. Yeah. Over the whole speaker system, farting and pissing and oh, it's just so good. So good. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, of course, if you were the queen, you don't laugh at that humor. But some people do, and that's okay.
I wonder what the queen does laugh at. What a boring existence.
She laughs not very loud because she's dead.
Oh, yeah.
She's passed.
She is passed. Shoot, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were really funny. I loved your friend Drew Ishii put the clip from the Tony Orlando show where Phyllis Diller comes out and he runs up to her and hugs her and kisses her and then her wig.
So good.
But the best part was like what a great sport she was about it, and her cackle is the best. Oh, it's so funny.
Legendary.
So
many people
funny.
Have no memory of all those people.
I know.
You're like, who?
I loved that one. So yes, Sarah has been up. She has been a little bit down in the dumps, and she's been ripping gross carpet out and repainting, and I've just been, you know, living the life of my dreams.
I know.
And so she hasn't been feeling very well. So every week we try to come up with a glitter in our shitter, something that got us through the shithole week. Do you have one?
I do. I have another pair of Amazon pants, but I didn't write down what they're called or anything. But they're like they look like dress slacks, but they're like yoga pants, pajama pants, but they look fancy.
Yeah.
So you just, there's no, like, they're not hard pants. They're just pull on. Mm-hmm. And they just look like, and I just got like khaki. They just look like khaki, like wide leg dressy pants.
Yeah.
But they're like a yoga leggings material. So they're
love
super
it.
Cozy.
So, well, I can.
I'll give you the link.
Yeah. And I'll try to put it
in
there.
And they were like $20 or $18 or something.
We do have an Amazon storefront. So if you just search It's Always the Husband podcast Amazon storefront, it should pop up, or we have links to it on our link tree on different socials, and so you can find that there. And also our book club books are also there because we have a book club and it is fabulous. And this month we are reading Don't Let Her Stay by
Nicola Sanders. And we're going to have it, April 30th?
Yes.
Which is a Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday at 7:30 Central Time.
Yes. My glitter in the shitter is that last week I went to my mom and dad's for Easter, and we read a book together.
Was it Danny DeVito's autobiography?
It was. We thought it was time that the kids needed to know about the glory hole from It's Always Sunny. And so we thought Easter's the perfect time. Let's do a read
it
aloud.
Seems like it would be.
So we took turns reading chapters of the book, and this book was called, and it was so good, and we all sobbed and laughed. It's called Ferris, like the Ferris wheel, F-E-R-R-I-S. And it's by Kate DiCamillo, who is a famous Minnesota author. You may have known her from Because of Winn-Dixie or the Mercy Watson books with the pig who loved buttered toast. So like Minnesota kids and kids all over grow up on her, but she has also written Tale of Despero. She's just amazing overlooked writer, and this book was so good and the whole family loved it. We all took turns reading it and it got us off of our phones and away from the TV, and so I highly recommend for kids and adults.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
All right. Well, again, we had a short beginning. We actually are a true crime podcast, believe it or not. My God. So we're going to get into our crime.
Aha. Uh-huh. And this one's a doozy.
This one is very complicated, so we apologize in advance. It is from a show I haven't seen.
No.
It's called Seduced to Slay. And we watched season 1, episode 3. Which is called Boardwalk Pied Piper.
Mm-hmm.
It involves people that are Greek or born in Greece and move to the most sophisticated and demure place on the planet, Florida.
Yeah. place known for nothing but good things.
Yes. All good behavior and very classy people.
Uh-huh.
So I have some ancient Greek facts. Now, we've done facts before about the Olympics, so this is just different day-to-day ancient Greek shittery. Speaking of shittery, when the ancient Greeks used the toilet, they would wipe their area with a sea sponge. That's not so bad. And it would be stuck on a stick. And so they would use the stick to wipe the area. The butthole-ish area, and then they would dunk it into a bucket filled either with salty water or vinegar to cleanse it and leave it to be reused. And these sea sponge on a stick would be shared amongst all visitors to public toilets as well. And this was for the more money-having people, the rich. The poor would use pebbles to wipe their anus. Which doesn't make sense.
Pebbles?
And it said they would tear their anus tissue and hemorrhoids by using the pebbles, but they still did. Hey, I just took a big squirt into this public restroom. Does anyone have a handful of rocks that I can wipe my anus? You do. Thank you. Well, these are used pebbles. I have dignity. I only use clean pebbles to wash my diarrhea anus. Just gross. But at least they tried, I guess. They used to write curse tablets to people they thought sucked dick.
Okay.
So they would take tiny, thin sheets of lead, inscribe a curse on it, and drop it into their drinking water. Well, of course.
Because lead in your drinking water is nothing but safe and healthy.
It is. And so then when terrible things would happen, they would think it was the curse, yet all these dicks were drinking lead all the time.
Yeah.
Beards were a symbol of masculinity, beauty, and status. In fact, men would continually try to always be well-groomed with many oils and combs.
I love a good beard.
And then a unibrow was the sign of the highest intelligence and a sign of beauty. So I guess Socrates had a unibrow. I feel like just one guy with a huge unibrow that got teased all the time.
Was like, I guess you didn't know, but it means I'm the smartest of all the smarts.
So women would draw on a unibrow with black eyeliner. I'm sure that looked sane. Can you imagine some dumbass woman coming at you with black marker unibrow drawn all across her face? She'd look crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're Greek, they loved phallic symbols. Mm-hmm. So dicks were seen as good luck. They were literally drawn everywhere, carved everywhere, carried everywhere as amulets. On special occasions, they would dress up as dicks.
It sounds a lot costumes. Like the middle school.
And our Facebook page.
Yes.
and so dicks were everywhere, and it was just seen as just a good luck. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you can't, that's why you can't show any kind of a Greek painting at a school, because it's always a dick on it. Mm-hmm. They would pay professional mourners. So people would, that was their job. And they would go to funerals and just wail and pull out their hair and scream and roll on the floor. And the more wailing mourners you had, it meant the more popular you were, even though clearly all of them are just paid. What a scene. Who wants a big fool rolling on the ground screaming? Like, you don't care, but I guess you're I don't know. And then one thing they thought, live fish on your wounds would heal it. So you have if you have a big cut on your leg, some fool runs over with a trout and throws it on your leg. I mean, what is that going to do?
It's like peeing on a jellyfish sting.
Right, maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know. But they're a little cuckoo.
Well, the Greek family that we're going to talk about today, actually, the family was, okay, it was just one guy.
One person was fucked, but the family was normal.
They were nice.
Yeah.
So I love it. I got a little excited when I saw that the episode was called The Boardwalk Pied Piper, because I happened to be in, my first play was The Pied Piper.
Oh, no.
Of Hamelin Town.
Piper?
I was Heidi.
What was that?
And Trent Tumbleson was the Pied Piper.
Did you have to show your boobs?
No, I think I had to have a limp. And
a limp?
I maybe cared about the children or something.
Wasn't the Pied Piper, he said he would get the rats out, but he took all the children out?
He took all the kids, yeah.
Because he was some sort of pedophile?
It seems like a pretty dark play.
Seems like terribly frightening.
In elementary school, but that was me. That was how things rolled in Trimont. So I was excited to hear about the Pied Piper of the Boardwalk.
Right. And the same thing. It was luring for horrible reasons.
Yep.
So we're going to go to, again, an area of pure 100% class and dignity, Daytona Beach, Florida, in the late 1980s.
Yes.
Now, one of the people commenting, this is a show that has people talking, reenactments, and real video and photos.
Yes.
All together. So that's good, I think.
And it had the same therapist as the marriage one.
One of the marriage
ones. Fatal Vows or something?
Maybe, one of those.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Stacey Kaiser, her name is. So she's a psychotherapist, and she comments on the behavior choices of some of these fools. Yes. There's David Damore, who was a homicide chief, and he was kind of throughout the whole situation. So our family that we're going to start with is a very well-established Greek community within Daytona Beach. Mm-hmm. And they do have a lot of shops. They said they were merchants along the boardwalk, along the beach. It sounds lovely, actually. Mm-hmm. Very hardworking. Very much involved in the community.
Right.
All good things. Like, it's just working hard, doing very successful, and giving back to the community. So one of the married couples in this Greek community is Lisa and Costa Fotopoulos.
Yes.
And they show a picture, and Lisa looked kind of like, I forget her name, but she was the mom in the first Conjuring. You don't watch those, but if people know that.
Farmelia?
No, that was, she played the Warren, but it was the mom that was haunted.
I don't know.
She kind of looks like that, if you know what I'm saying, but I can't remember her name, of course.
Okay.
And Costa looks like a douchebag. I mean, he looks like Belky with a mustache.
I was just going to say, he looked like Tony Orlando.
Yes,
a little bit. He just had a bad haircut.
Oh, terrible.
Kind of chubby. He just looks like a geek.
Yeah. And then we do hear stories from a gal who was a very good reporter at the time, but her name is Pervette. And that's an unfortunate name. But she had very good insights. Pervette. Oh. She said it was a super friendly family. They were really hardworking, and things were kind of, for a while, normal.
Yeah.
But this prominent couple, again, in the late 1980s, were merchants. Costa came from Greece. He was raised in Greece and came to Florida to go to college. Mm-hmm. Lisa was from Daytona. Her family was Greek, so she was part of the Greek Daytona community. Mm-hmm. Her father owned several stores or bars or something like that, and several businesses on the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. And was very wealthy. Lisa was an accountant for the family businesses. And so Lisa's family started looking for a husband for her because, like, a big fat Greek wedding or whatever, you know, they wanted to marry another Greek. But, you know, she fell in love with the...
with the cutest guy ever.
John Corbett. Yes. That's right.
Aiden.
Yes.
Chris in the Morning. Whoever.
She agrees, you know, okay, we'll marry a Greek. And Costa seemed like a really good fit because he was well educated. She was really smart. They both had the same goals. Mm-hmm. Costa had, they said, a great personality, but he loved attention, you know, kind of big rowdy guy that loved all the attention on him. But he was very well liked, kind of a big personality. Where everything starts hitting the fan, the shit's hitting the fan, is when Lisa's dad dies suddenly in 1988. And in the Greek tradition, family moves in with the mother to help care for her during this time.
Right.
So Costa and Lisa move in. Lisa also has a brother named Dino.
What was her last name?
Sarsaparilla? No, I don't. It was a long
Fast
one.
Fast or something.
But Fatopoulos was his last name. But Dino. In this man, this was a huge ass mansion they moved into, an enormous mansion. So Dino, Lisa, the children, and Costa, Lisa's husband, move in to take care of the mother.
Right.
And this is where friends are kind of starting to notice their relationship is not what it seems, because they just don't show a lot of affection. Yeah. And the friends are like, well, maybe that's just how they are. But Costa's friends are starting to notice, like, he's just wanting to use Lisa and her family and all of their money and influence as a stepping stone for his own power and wealth. And Costa opens his own boardwalk bar called Top Shots with a guy named Tony. I didn't get his last name. And it's like a billiards pool table bar.
And it was the hottest place on the boardwalk.
Yeah, I guess it was super successful because they said it was the only bar. That can't be true.
I know, that's what they
said. What the hell? Of course it's going to be successful. It's the only place to get booze.
Yeah.
Evenings when the tourist families would leave the boardwalk for the day, was it the police officer, detective, or someone just say, that's when at night... runaways, and they said vagrants.
Oh, the vagrants.
And transients would come in and crowd the boardwalk at night. And these transient vagrants were mostly teenagers and runaways. And Top Shots, Costa's bar, was like a hub for all these runaway teens and transients. Costa became like their Pied Piper, and would lead them and tell them stories that, you know, because he drove a BMW and he lived in this mansion that wasn't even his, he told them he was a hitman, like this world assassin, or like worked for the CIA, like total lies, that he was a ninja, even though he's a big buffoon.
And his partner was like, I would listen to him say this and just shake my head.
I mean, he looked like Wilford Brimley with dark hair.
He did not look like a ninja.
He was no ninja about it at all. And but these kids though believed it because, I don't know, like, they're just probably like, I don't care, guy. I'm in here and I can eat and have a drink and not be outside.
Yeah.
So I'll listen to your bullshit.
Yeah.
In 1989, a new gal, a 20-year-old, comes into the boardwalk area of Daytona. Her name is Deidre Hunt, not Deidre Hall.
No.
From TV's Days of Our Lives.
Marlena from, like, the devil.
Marlena, you're acting different.
I'm gonna be possessed.
You're stabbing people and you're floating above your bed. Is something going on?
Where's John Black? I'm gonna freaking kill him.
Victor Kyriakis was a Greek.
Victor.
Remember the Cruise of Deception?
The Cruise of Deception.
Stefano.
Okay,
man,
anyway.
He had nothing better to do.
No, he
had nothing better to do.
No, I didn't.
Deidre Hunt was quite lovely. She was 20. She was very pretty. She had very long, dark, curly hair. Just looked like a stunner.
The perfect perm.
Oh, just perfect. Perfect. That you would look at people and like, why doesn't my hair perm like that?
For being a vagrant.
For a vagrant perm?
Yeah.
It was immaculate.
Was one hell of a
my
perm.
The front would never perm, so it sticks straight. And then the back would be just absolute pubes. And how do you work that? There's no hope. No hope. Absolutely unfortunate. So Deidre Hall Hunt.
Your perm picture. And
terrible.
How lovely was.
Goes into Hot Shots and talks to the Tony, the partner of Costa, and says, I want a job. And Tony says, well, what can you do? And she's like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I don't fucking care.
Right.
And Tony says, well, can you wait on the table? She's like, yeah, I guess. Well, because she was so sexy, he said business went up like 50% right away. When then I guess she would wear like a bikini and have her tits out and be super flirtatious. And Tony said she was a straight up hustler and was like so great for their business. And she had a great personality. She kept people there and she could just seduce anybody with her eyes in 2 seconds. You were doing what she wanted, even though it sounded fucking ridiculous in 30 seconds.
Right.
And they keep showing these photos and like she is like to a guy.
In the
80s. I mean, I guess, to the 80s, and there's a girl like this talking to you, I guess, you would do whatever she said. So Costa meets her and right away gets a boner for her and tells Tony, can I have her? His partner. And Tony's like, I don't fucking care. What are you talking about?
Like, she's a human being.
Right. He's like, I don't care what you do with anyone. Her. And so Costa's kind of like, well, she's mine then. And so Costa, like, starts paying for Deidre's living arrangements. And food and drinks and paying for her. And they start this affair. Now, again, she's a very lovely 20-year-old. And he looks like Wilford Brimley with dark hair. Lisa was kind of on to him. We find out for sure later. But everyone knew, and Costa knew, if Lisa knew he was having an affair, she would just kick him to the curb in 2 seconds. She was not going to put up with that bullshit at all. I don't even know why she put up with him at all after a while. But we get to November 4th, 1989. And we hear a 911 call from Dino. And he's saying his sister is shot. Come right away. And it's at Lisa's mother's house. They're still living there with Costa, Lisa, and Dino. I don't think the mother was there.
Did
the mother is not ever.
Too?
I don't know, but she's never talked about. And on the 911 call, you hear screaming in the background of Lisa, like, oh, God, I've been shot in the head.
Yes.
Like, she's still alive and saying, I've been shot in the head. My God. I'm sure, like, freaking out. But the fact that she's able to talk, it's, I mean, I guess a good sign. She's still alive.
Yep.
But is shot. The police arrive. The scene is in Lisa and Costa's bedroom upstairs. And Costa says, we were sleeping and this guy, I hear a shot and I look over at Lisa and a guy is standing over her with a gun and has shot her in the head. So Costa grabs his gun from the nightstand and shoots the shit out of this guy like 5 times, gets out of bed, walks around the bed and then shoots the guy in the head a 6th time. And then then the Dino comes in and calls 911.
So there's a lot of people shot to shit.
Oh, shot to shit.
Yeah. Yep.
So when the police walk into the bedroom, they see Costa cradling Lisa, who still seems conscious, but she's bleeding profusely, shot in the head. Mm-hmm. And they show a real photo of the perpetrator, the shooter, dead on the floor. And they have period red carpet.
And his hair is an unsightly color. It looks almost like a the guy who plays SpongeBob that likes Ariana Grande. It was that color of like a blondish brownish
it
red.
Was one, yeah it was
it looked like a wig but he was
no
yikes.
Lisa is rushed to the hospital. And Costa is just telling the police, I'm not going to be arrested for shooting that guy. Don't arrest me for shooting that guy. Right. Don't arrest me for shooting that guy. And they're like, what are you talking about, dumbass? If he shot your wife and you shot him because he was shooting at you, that's okay. You're a hero.
Yeah.
And Costa's like, oh, well, okay. Yeah. And they're like, he's acting all like a weirdo. And why aren't you just trying to ask how your wife is? Right. You know, he just keeps saying that. Lisa does live. They find out the shooter was a 18-year-old transient named Brian Chase. This guy used to hang around, according to Tony, the partner, Hot Shots, and he didn't really work for them, but like he would take out their trash and they would give him a little bit of cash for doing odd jobs. Mm-hmm. He was definitely one of Costa's like cult Pied Piper followers.
Yeah.
So he hung out there quite a lot. And the police right away think, okay, does Brian know that Costa's rich and he just went in to rob him? And that's the idea they go with at first.
Uh-huh.
They go to the back of the house. And again, this is a monster mansion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the back of the house where glass is broken are sliding glass doors, but they have paint, very small panes. It's like broken up into tiny, like, yeah, not even 1 foot windows, yeah. You know. Do you remember the Little House episode? Laura was older, married to Almanzo, and Pa wanted to get a big glass seeing window in the house. And so he kept buying big, full sheets of glass. And Laura, who thought Almanzo was cheating with some female singer that he knew from like his past, kept getting upset and somehow breaking the glass every single time. Like
no.
Every single time Pa would put it in, Laura would come and do something and break the glass. And after then, Pa decided he wasn't going to have one big pane of glass. He had a little pane of glass with these little windows.
Yeah.
Because he gave up on that.
Yeah.
And it was
oh,
like
half
that.
Pint.
All right. Long story, but half pint was, and Almanzo was not having an affair.
Of course
he was
not.
Having this lady write a song for Laura as
of
a present.
Of course.
Anyway, the police are like, well, no, that glass is broken and the glass is on the outside of the house. So it looks like someone broke it from the inside of the house.
It was,
and
like
no one could crawl in it.
Mistake number one.
Right. Yeah.
They kicked the glass in from the wrong way.
Right.
Clearly from the inside.
And no adult could get in that way. It was pointless.
And not even a small child.
No. And you couldn't get in
probably
there. It's all
not even
glass.
A dog.
Yeah.
No.
And they think, well, this is fucked. And there's no other way the suspect could have come in then through the door.
Right.
And the suspect then had to walk through a mansion with tons of stuff you could steal, but walks all the way upstairs, finds this random bedroom, and then walks into the bedroom all the way to the other side of the bedroom and shoots Lisa. Not the husband that's closest to the door, shoots the wife in the dark. How would you know she was there? So the cops right away, when they think about it for a day, nothing at all makes any kind of sense. And pretty quickly, like a couple days later, an anonymous phone call comes in to the police. And a guy says, hey, about that lady that was shot in her bedroom, Deidre Hunt hired me to do that, but I said no. Costa, the husband, wanted to hire me to kill his wife. You should know. And the cops were like, oh, okay, we got to find out who this Deidre Hunt is. We get a little background on Deidre. She has the worst childhood ever. So she has an alcoholic, abusive mother, and she's just molested at 7, raped and sexually abused at 11.
Horrible,
and had, like, the
horrible
most traumatic
trauma. Yeah.
Childhood ever.
Yes.
So she had escaped at 20 and who knows what she'd gone through in her teens, but she's wanting a fresh start at Daytona Beach. Police find Deidre, take her in, and we see then kind of the whole rest of the episode. It's a lot of real video from her police interview. And she's just smoking a cigarette that's like as long as the Mississippi. In like a red sweater and just talking as nonchalant, like she's talking about her cat.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she tells the police, oh gosh, I just want to tell you everything. Oh. And she's kind of trying to seduce them, but the police say, well, then do it. Tell us. You know, we'll listen to your story. And so she starts talking and says she started an affair with Costa like right away coming into town. And they say, well, how long has this been affair been going on? She's like 3.5 months. So all this happened in like three months. It's unreal. And she's like, he was paying for stuff and whatever. But right away, he decided he wanted to kill his wife so we can get her insurance policy, which would have been about $700,000, and then we could get married. Mm-hmm. The dumbest thing ever. And the cops are just like, oh, holy shit, because she just says this right away. Like, just right out. No, they don't even have to try. She just says it like whatever. So Costa gives Deidre the job of trying to hire someone to kill his wife. And she kept saying, you know, he wanted it done really way, right away. So I had to work fast. So she says, I went to Brian Chase and we said, you'll get $5,000. Costa wants you to fake a home invasion, go to Lisa and shoot her and then leave.
Yes.
And so they give Brian a gun. And there's a few misstarts. Like Brian couldn't break the window the first time, and so he ran away. Like the second time, a motion activated light turned on, he got scared and ran away. But this third time, like Costa even left the door open or whatever, and just say, just walk in, you dumbass. And then Costa says, kick in the window, but Brian did it from the inside. And he said, go, told him exactly where the bedroom was. Lisa sleeps on the left. You have to walk around the bed from the door and shoot her in the head and then leave and you'll get your money. And the cops then say, so how is he going to pay Brian? And she's like, oh my gosh, he was never going to get paid. The whole plan was for Costa to kill Brian once he shot Lisa in the head so that Brian would die and we wouldn't have to pay him. And she acts like, how dumb are you to not think that? You know, and she's just admitting this. Openly, that she knew that this kid was going to die and didn't do anything and not feeling bad about it at all.
No.
Admitting that she knew about this murder that was going to happen and did nothing to stop it and to admitting to this horrible crime. And like the cops were just still, their jaws were on the floor because it's like nothing happens like this where they just say it. And they're realizing like she doesn't even know that this is illegal, what she's saying. Or does, I don't, like, in her, there was no emotion.
Well, so, it was just like, she didn't even think for one second, like, I'm admitting to murder and I'm going to get in trouble for this.
No.
She was just like telling a story like it was
like it wasn't
no
her fault.
Yeah.
None of this was her fault. And then she says, well, by the way, we killed a guy in the woods a little bit ago, too. And the cops are like,
excuse me?
What?
Again.
And so she says that Costa worked with this kid called Kevin Ramsey that was 19. He was also a drifter. Costa wanted him killed, and Deidre helped set it up. So Deidre goes to Kevin and says, Costa and I are in this club and there's an initiation in the woods. We're going to take you to the woods and tie you up and pretend to shoot you and shoot at your feet. And if you stay brave, you're in the club. And Kevin was like, oh, okay.
I can't wait.
That seems really fun and sane and normal. It seems like what people do.
Yep.
Costa, Lisa, and Kevin walk into the woods. And this is Lisa telling the police. Costa is also filming this and has an AK-47 in his hands. But he gave a gun to Lisa. Or Deidre, I mean, he gives a gun to Deidre. So they tie up Kevin and they're filming this the whole time. And Kevin still is thinking, you know, they're just going to shoot at my feet, whatever. This is super weird, probably. Like, but he fell for Deidre being sexy. You know, I'm sure he just said, whatever, the sexy lady wants me to do this. I'll do whatever. Deidre just admits, like, again, like she's giving a coffee order. The cops say, so did you shoot him? And she went, yeah, I shot him. I shot him three times in the chest and then once in the head. Like that. Just like totally. And the you can see the cops like just stunned, like totally stunned. Like their buttholes fallen down onto the floor. And they're like, okay. And then they said, would you show us where that was? She's like, sure, yeah.
And so it was so weird, you guys. So weird.
Unbelievable. And they literally show like the video of them walking in the woods, and they said they could smell the dead body. Like
She's like, just drive over here.
It's over there. Yep. And they find Kevin's body decayed, but still tied to the tree and shot exactly like she said. Mm-hmm. And then so right there, the detective that is talking this whole time, I already forgot his name, arrests Deidre. And she looks at him like, oh, my God, why are you arresting me? What did I do? And it's like she didn't even understand. And
he was like, you just told me
about two murders you were a part of. You dumbass
person.
Yeah. And she's totally shocked. Like, oh, my gosh, why are you?
Heaters.
Yeah. Like, why would you arrest me?
Crazy town.
I don't get it. So police decide they have to bring Costa in for this fucker. Mm-hmm. They interview him, and Costa just denies everything.
Oh my God,
I've never met her. I've never met him. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know.
You like her in her bikinis? I've never cheated. My wife.
Yeah.
I work 16 hours a day. I'm not like that. I'm not a man like that.
And then at the end, a cop just yells from the door, you're getting a chair, buddy. Like, so mad at him. Like, he's being such a dick. Lying about everything. So police find out that Lisa, now before she was shot in the head, actually got a call from a friend, ends up being the partner, Tony's wife, called Lisa and said, Costa's having an affair with this dumbass waitress. So what are you going to do? Lisa told Costa, get the fuck out. Pack your bags. You're done. Get out. I want a divorce. Costa would lose everything because all the money he had is pretty much Lisa and her family's. And he would lose living in this mansion. He would have, no money. And so he put the killing plan into motion right away before Lisa gets to really kicking him out.
Right.
Or filing for divorce. So he wants it done like immediately. Police search Costa's house and they find some gross black bag like outside hidden in some sort of fire pit, mm-hmm. which has the AK-47, the handguns, the silencer, all this stuff that Deidre told them about. Mm-hmm. They find also the video that shows Kevin's whole murder. And they said that watching that was just like a tort. Like
when the
awful,
guy
traumatizing.
Yeah. When the guy was like replaying what was on the video, he like had his eyes closed the whole, he couldn't even like talk about it or think about it. He was saying what was happening and it was so gross.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't even, because it was freaky. They showed excerpts of the video.
Right.
They showed Costa like, and Deidre was like, don't put that light right in my eyes. Either go above me or below me. And the guy is just standing there.
Tied to a tree, wondering what's going on. And then they said she shot him and he just started screaming.
Yeah, and then grabbed his head.
Yeah.
And shot him again, right in the head.
Oh, God. I mean, how awful.
Oh.
And so they just are all extremely traumatized. And Lisa, for court, pled guilty, but she still got the death penalty.
Lisa
was in, Lisa testified, but Deidre pleads guilty, but still gets a sentence of the death penalty. Costa goes through a whole trial, and this is where Lisa testified. She was like, yeah, he's a fucker, and I was going to divorce him right before this happened. Deidre also testifies, tells all her stories all over again. Of course, still plays the victim like she was forced to do all this and wasn't her fault. But she also says that Costa had also a counterfeiting scheme. Kevin knew about the counterfeiting scheme and tried to blackmail
that counterfeiting scheme.
Yeah, Costa. And that's why Costa wanted Kevin dead. And then he filmed it so he could blackmail Deidre some more and get her to do whatever he wanted.
Yes.
And then 100%. Costa, of course, testifies in his defense like a fool, lies about everything. Then the tape, which Costa is not seen, but his voice is on it. And they had like 10 people identify that it's absolutely his voice.
Right.
The jury finds him guilty and he, too, gets the death penalty. Yes. But in 1995, Deidre Hunt's sentence is thrown out. She gets another trial and she gets life without parole.
Two life sentences.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But never.
She doesn't have the death penalty anymore. So she never will get out.
And but people are still pissed at it. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
She
was
cold-bloodedly killed that guy.
And knew that the other guy was going to die and knew that Lisa would have died. Yep. Insane. But Lisa has remarried, but the bullet's still in her head.
It is.
And Costa is still on death row, or is he passed?
I have been just kind of researching. Yeah. I can't really find that he has been killed yet. But that guy, that detective, is like, the one thing I want is to see him die before I die.
Before he does.
Yeah.
But it takes a long time. It
sure does.
A very long time.
So this story has been on some other things, too. I think it was on Snapped, too.
Oh, probably.
I read. But so you can look for it there. But also this, again, our story was, what was it called? Seduce to Slay.
Yes.
Yes. The Boardwalk Pied Piper.
I know.
So check it out and just see how dumb these assholes are.
Just dumb assholes. And just arrogant that you think you can do all this and nobody would notice.
The best part of the whole thing is that Lisa didn't die.
No. And I mean, and she doesn't have any scars or anything, like, but I mean, the bullet's still in.
I mean, but she looks good and she's happily married.
Right. And her life still continued normal.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. Thank God for that. So nice try, Costa.
Yeah, dumbass.
Whatever your name is.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Uh-huh.
That was interesting, too. All right.
Dumb.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Bye. Uh-huh.